My name is Scott Kellogg. I'm the Educational Director at the RADIX, R-A-D-I-X, Ecological Sustainability Center. We're a nonprofit organization based in the south end of Albany, building a demonstration site of sustainable tools and technologies that are designed to teach urban residents, specifically urban youth, how to have greater local access and control over essential resources such as food, water, waste management, energy production, with an emphasis on building systems that are simple and affordable. All of the ultimate goal of teaching ecological literacy to area youth and performing environmental justice advocacy in the South End neighborhood as a whole.
How does your work relate to the field of sustainability?
So it's really central to it all. And you know, sustainability is a fairly nebulous term that gets tossed around a lot. Most people have vague, at best, notions of what it actually is. And it's got quite a bit of transformative potential, I believe, when you look at its original definition and what it is intended to be. I think far too often it is co-opted as to be more or less a marketing term, a buzzword. But, you know, when you look at its original definition, it's about being mindful of the social, economic, and environmental aspects of life. I mean, there's plenty that we could critique there, at least in terms of equating those three with one another. I think there are certain things that it's not appropriate to value, for instance, the health of the economy as much as you do the health of the global ecosystem or human health. However, really, you know, what's going on in the past couple decades discursively is that the so-called social pillar of sustainability has been marginalized, has been pushed to the side, where there is greater emphasis on the economic and environmental dimensions of sustainability and less on aspects of justice and fairness and equity and access and race and class. And I think what we have to do is really be very deliberate and explicit about recentering that so-called social pillar of sustainability, which is really a key component of the work that we do, is asking how questions of equity and access and fairness and justice pertain to things such as food and water and waste management and energy production and soils and biodiversity and atmospheres.
Great. And could you talk more about that? How are you addressing that in your programming?
Really, we base a lot of our pedagogy around this concept of urban ecosystem justice, which is similar to what I've really just sort of been describing, but thinking about how equity and justice apply to the so-called biophysical spheres of the urban ecosystem, the soil, the waters, the airs, the non-human life, the waste cycles, in a way, especially with our programs with youth, which underscore the relevance of it, the importance of it. The way a lot of environmental education is done conventionally in this country is that it devalues urban ecosystems. It teaches that the quote environment, or that quote nature, pure nature, nature worth studying, is something out there beyond the limits of the city. And therefore it doesn't have any interest or relevance to urban populations, and particularly urban youth, causing them to internalize a lot of negative attitudes about nature and the environment. So by one, showing that urban ecosystems do have interest and value, can challenge ecological alienation that many people suffer from, but at the same time, working to recenter the social pillar of sustainability and taking a cue from the environmental justice movement, which extends definitions of the environment to include human, social, and economic processes, cultural, that when we see those overlap in the city, it has the effect of centering and making explicit social dimensions of sustainability.
And it sounds like part of your work is to heal this possibly traumatic relationship between cities and the earth and nature.
Sure, absolutely. That cities are conceived very much as being these sort of human-only places. That is really the philosophical basis of modernity, which is the dualism of nature and society. And that's a false dichotomy. That's a false dualism. And what we're trying to do is break that down and show how even in cities are the co-evolutionary products of both human and non-human processes. They're not monocultures for Homo sapiens. There's a lot of other species that live here that we co-create with and need to have reciprocal relationships with.
Education is a big part of the concept of the RADx Ecological Sustainability Center. But so where does a lot of the change really come in? Is it the individual level, educating individuals? How much of it, how much of sustainability needs to come from the city or from the state? What have you seen as the effective way of really creating some regeneration in cities?
So you mentioned regeneration, that's a really important part of it, right? Sustainability is not enough. Sustainability is just sort of maintaining the status quo. A regenerative paradigm pushes beyond that to where we are actually trying to repair ecological damage and to promote social justice and equity. So that's critically important. And I think it needs to happen on every level, from the formal to the informal to the non-formal. So within public schools, that's great if it can happen there, but also outside of the school, in just day-to-day interactions with people in the public and with after-school programs like the one that we run as well, which I would probably fall more into the informal and non-formal sector. But a lot of it is just casual and incidental, just people passing by and stopping in to check things out and learning what they can.
Would you agree that a lot of regenerative lessons can be learned from Indigenous communities? And is there a space for bringing in Indigenous voices in this process of green recovery?
Absolutely. We need to recognize the historical erasure and genocide of Indigenous populations that took place in this country upon the myth of the founding of the United States is based upon, and something that doesn't get discussed nearly so frequently. But those Indigenous societies, in the case of the Mohican and the Mohawk peoples, the original inhabitants of what is now Albany and the Capital District, were the only people who've ever had a successful track record of living genuinely sustainably in this region for thousands of years. And in just a handful of generations, we've all but decimated it. So there's clearly a huge amount that we could stand to learn from those people who are still surviving to this day. And of course, the form of the Muncie-Stockbridge people.
What work would you like to see come out of the Sustainable Futures Conference?
I think it's a great opportunity to organize, to bring people together, different leaders in the field. I would love to see the ideas in it make the leap into the public sphere, right? For the next phase of the conference to involve the general public and the people whose lives are going to be impacted by this decision, who possess a great expert knowledge.